If you're new with us, what we've been doing is going through the book of Matthew. We're going verse by verse, line by line, precept upon precept. Anybody heard that before, right? But we're going line by line, verse by verse through the book of Matthew. It might take us the rest of the year. But we're going to study the Matthew and learn and grow. And we'll see where God's going to take us after that. If you notice, we can't help but bounce into Old Testament back and forth, different other chapters in the New Testament, because the Word of God from the beginning to the end is all about Jesus. You know, it's all about, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is the gospel and the good news. So, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. That's where we're at. Matthew chapter 5. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come into this church building we call the house of God. Lord, we thank you there's not bombs blowing up outside or worried about some crazy enemy, that we still live in a free country. We ever want to take that for granted. We pray for our country, from our leaders on down. Lord, you help them make good decisions from the top to the bottom, even our little county commissioners and city planners and state and federal government. When we just pray for them, Lord, that you'll help them make good decisions for our country. We pray for revival in our country. Lord, we lift up our military around the world. Keep them safe, protecting us. Pray for our foreign missionaries, Lord, they scurry around the world spreading the good news of the gospel. And Lord, all these folks that's on the back of our bulletin that have issues and needs and healing, and just they have needs, Father. So you know each one. So Father, we just lift up all these folks on our bulletin and help them out. In Jesus' name, Lord, help me with this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. So last week was 4th of July celebration, so I enjoyed that. That was great. So we're back into Matthew. Now, the Sunday before that, we kind of briefly covered the Beatitudes. Again, I did an in-depth study of the Beatitudes 2 or 3 years ago. But I want to encourage you, if you're missing, you know, services for anything, for any reason, I understand how that goes, but please go back on the website. Derry uploads the messages so you can kind of catch up, you know, however how you want to do that, you know, in your car driving to work or at home, a little Bible study. But go, and so that you can get this whole Matthew as we go through it, you know, I hate for you to miss something. But last week, you know, we covered the Beatitudes, and so this week we're going to end up this little part right here, Matthew 5, 13 to 16. So, let's read. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, really, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Everybody said amen? Amen. So just like salt and light, the church is supposed to have a transformative effect on its local society. And that means that within this church body, we really, our responsibility is obviously to teach the Word of God, but to disciple and mentor and encourage and support each other, build relationships, friendships, have fun together, enjoy each other's company, hold each other accountable. All these things within our church body, and that the Word of God, you see here, also teaches us that we need to go outside into our local area, Brooks County, Lowndes County, different counties. We also need to be the salt and the light to our region, our area, our state, and the best way we can, our country, and then the best way we can, our world. And that's one thing I like when I first came to Pauline, is you guys were active in doing things just like that. Even going on mission trips in different parts of the world. I thought that was awesome. Now that hopefully COVID issues are gone, and you know, we can get back to going on some foreign mission trips. Anybody say amen? We can start planning some. So Jesus says the followers are the salt of the earth. Everybody say that. Salt of the earth. Amen. So for thousands of years, salt has remained the primary way of adding flavor to food. Salt also has been used for a natural preservative since the beginnings of times, in the ancient times. And all of us know it's primarily used for fish and meat. So there's two things here. Two things going on. It's used for preservatives. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's also used to enhance the flavor of food. Now let me give you an interesting fact. This is not going to change your life, but you know how I like to dig in and get little nuggets and facts and things like that. Glenn and Mr. B probably already know this, and most of you might know it too, but anyway, I heard rumors, but I found it to be true. It says it was discovered in the 19th century that salt mixed with certain nitrates would color the meat red. And they found that people preferred the red color rather than the old gray-looking dead color. Amen? So really, meat's not red like you go down to Winn-Dixie or Publix and buy it. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting. It's a color. All right, so now, I like salt. How many like salt? I mean, I really like salt. So I'm trying to cut back. It was kind of a weird thing with me when I had all the kidney stones. I was like secretly praying, Lord, please don't let it be calcium. Because, you know, salts, calcium, all that, you know. And my kidney stones were not from calcium. It was a buildup of uric acid and all that. So I was like, yeah, I get to eat a little bit more salt maybe. I'm all operating as the denial thing, right? So Lynn's helping me with it. So just bear with me. Keep praying for me. But how many like salt on your watermelon? See? How about grapefruit? Hey, Lynn's from California. He's just like, I eat sugar and all that. No, no, no. I'm so sick. Where's Miss Mary? Is she here? Her and I were talking the other day about this. I'm so sick with this, right? I eat salt on my green plums. I know I got to have a kindred spirit out there with that. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Your mouth's watering right now. I can see. Green plums, and I even put it on apples, so I'm real sick, y'all. But Lynn's working with me. Sometimes she'll tell me, she'll say, you need to cut back and quit eating all that salt. And I get irritated and I say, you need to mind your own business. And then she quickly reminds me, you are my business. So, you know, it's all good. Now, notice in this scripture here that Jesus does not call us the sugar of the earth. Right? He does not call us the sugar of the earth. He calls us to be the salt of the earth. Now, we talked about earlier that salt enhances the flavor, you know, and makes it taste a little bit better and that sort of thing. But salt can also be irritating. You ever had salt and get a little tiny open wound, get salt in it? Boy, it gets a little irritating. What's that? Well, that's a good thing, actually. Good. Stick with that. one of our boys, Lance, as a kid, he just did not like sodas, you know, Coca-Cola, whatever, didn't matter, Mountain, he just wouldn't drink them. And he's the one that went, I don't think he still has a cavity. He never had a cavity. We contributed to that, you know, not liking the soda, you know, that kind of thing. But salt can be irritating. That's why sometimes we could be persecuted when we try to preserve this decaying society. I remember last week we talked a little bit about how we can be persecuted if we try to do the right thing. Right? Young girls, you try to stay, you know, a virgin. You try not to drink and drug. You try not to listen to dirty jokes. You try not to, your best not to hang around those places you don't need to hang around or go and do those things you know you shouldn't be doing. And when you try to do that, remember last week? People will make fun of you. People will mock you. People will, they'll persecute you, right? Whether it's in a little way or a big way. So as we try, as Christians, trying to be the salt of the earth and do the right thing, we will face persecution. Especially right now in these days, trying to uphold our godly American values. Anybody see that? I mean, everywhere you go, if you try to do the right thing, you try to uphold what I call American, you know, godly values, folks are being persecuted. I mean, it's a frontal attack. The Bible talks about that and says that's the way it's going to be in the very end times. So we need to prepare ourselves. Jesus also says in verse 13, he says, "But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under feet." See, I looked this up a little bit here and tried to get a little bit of information. It says in ancient times, contaminated salt was scattered on the soil of flat roofs to form a crust, which hardened the soil and it helped prevent leaks in these flat homes that they lived in. Back in the day, a flat roof was a great place to hang out and fellowship during a hot day. Okay? It became, listen closer to this. If we become contaminated by straying away from biblical teachings, especially about morality, then we're not going to be any good to our society, our culture, and we cannot make a positive impact in our area. Christians are to be salt and have a positive impact in our culture. It could be as simple as you inviting your friend. Your maybe unchurched friend. It could be you inviting your neighbor. You guys listen? Inviting your neighbor over to play a game of Uno. Or something. Just invite them over. And when your neighbor who's not going to church or not, or your friend at work or whatever, you invite them over. "Hey, y'all come over. We'll barbecue. We'll grill some hamburgers and we'll play card game or something. We'll play Monopoly or whatever you do." And that couple is watching you guys interact. I mean, Lynn and I'm not bragging. I'm saying Lynn and I have heard this many times. And again, it's just the truth. God knows. Wow, they're watching you interact with each other. They're watching how you respond to each other's, you know, mannerisms and personality. And they leave that house and they go back to their house. And they watched you. That salt that was in your marriage, that salt tasted good to them. It enhanced the flavor. Y'all understand the metaphor here? And they get back home and they say, "You know, that's something different about them. They got something, you know. You know, I want a marriage like theirs. You know, I want their children, you know, they saw your children interacting with you and that kind of thing. And, you know, they want what you have because it tastes good. This is a beautiful thing when it happens. Or at work. All this can go on at work too. I can give that little scenario. We can say a lot about Jesus' metaphor here regarding salt. But let's highlight this one thing about preservatives, like being a preservative. The church must have a preserving effect on our society to help it not go over the edge, so that this world can't go completely over this edge and decaying and rotting and this kind of thing. The church, the salt of the church is the preserving effect. Okay. You know what's going to happen when the rapture comes? You know, we believe in the rapture of the church. That one day Jesus is going to come and he's going to take the church, the Christians, born again believers. And when that happens, that salt to the earth is going to be gone. So this whole world will be unsalty. I'm just glad I'm not going to be around for that. So please listen to this. We are salt only, everybody say only. Only if we maintain our difference from the world around us. We have to stand our ground. We have to stand our ground regarding biblical morality, doing what's right in the eyes of God. We have to stand our ground. And each of us have to do that. That's an individual motivation or task or goal. Each one of us stand our ground regarding biblical morality. If not, we'll become unsalty. We'll become saturated. You see, in the Middle East, even now, salt can be found mixed with sand and other ingredients to the point it loses its saltiness, it loses its worth. The same fate can happen to us if, everybody say if. One more time. If. All the children, one more time. Or just the children. That's awesome. You guys are awesome. We usually have children's church, but we'll kick that back off soon. Our leaders are vacationing and having relaxing time. So that's awesome. The same fate can happen to us if we bend over, if we bend backwards, if we bend in any way to show the world how much we are like them. Now, I usually don't meddle, but I'm going to do a little meddling here. In the Christian world, I've seen a lot over the last 5 years, 10 years, mainly the last 5 years. I've seen big ministries, big ministry leaders come out with, I'm not a Christian anymore. You know, I'm homosexual now, or I don't love my wife anymore. I'm going to trade her in and get the lady on the third row of the choir. Yeah. I've seen a lot of things. And you have too. If you've been noticing, you've seen a lot of those things. It's a personal preference, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm just going to. Please forgive me. Keep coming back, you know. But a lot of the church services now are, and I love the praise and worship. Didn't the praise and worship team do good this morning? You guys did great, man. That was awesome. Really, really, really good. But I've seen these modern type churches. Lord, I feel like I'm picking on somebody, but I'm just telling the truth. It's like, it almost becomes like a rock concert. You know, and you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I have a good friend. And they go to a pretty good sized church, you know, within a 100-mile radius, and they have 500 to 1,000 people. And he told me and Glenn at a men's meeting one time at his house, he said, man, we got all these people and we could barely get 40 men together to fellowship. Remember that, Adam? And we have more than that in our little men's thing, you know, out here. Now I'm bragging. Sorry, Jesus. But yeah, it was just something about that, you know. And we have to be careful that we don't become like the world. Right? I don't think that's a good evangelistic approach, that we become like the world. You know, I think that we need to focus on Jesus and become like Jesus. Right? Become like Him. Get to know Him. Get to know His Word. Follow these biblical teachings. Follow the biblical morality that God laid out to us in the Word. And then we become salty, and the world looks at us and go, wow, okay. They have peace of mind. They have joy. I want to be a part of that. They have a good marriage. They have good kids. You know, we got problems. Everybody's got problems. I understand that, you know. But the world will see that saltiness and they'll say, you know, this is what I want, man. I want this. When new people come to Pauline, I've heard them so many times. They say, man, I just feel at home here. Everybody's so friendly and, you know, and it just feels, you know, like where I should be. And for me as a pastor, it's everything for me. If we're not contaminated, our saltiness will attract the world to us and our message. If we allow ourselves to be contaminated, we'll lose our saltiness and we will drive the world away from us and our message. And I'll say one thing here. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you if it applies to you, but you don't want to be what I call, you don't want to go around and throw salt in people's eyes. That's not going to attract people to church or to Jesus. And don't be that hyper-religious weirdo. Can I say that? I mean, just don't be that weird guy, you know, that weird lady that just, you know. It's kind of subjective, though, isn't it? You know. But don't be that person, you know. Let love be your primary motivation. Let love be your primary evangelistic tool. Right? 1 Peter 1:14-16, it says this. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I want to encourage you to go home. Don't just trust me. Don't trust everything I say. You go and you search the scriptures for yourself. Don't ever listen to any pastor at all, 100%, without going and studying and make sure that he's teaching or whatever, you know, that they're teaching the Word of God and teaching scripture soundly. Amen? But if you look up that word holy, what it means is, it means sacred. It means morally blameless. Basically, it means a saint. This is what God's telling us to do or be. It's also a slant of the word righteous or righteousness. Now, we know that I'm not a saint. I'm not morally blameless. And probably neither are you. But this is what God's calling us to do or be or have, you know. So the only thing I can do is try my best. I can just try my best each day. Get up, pray, do my little thing, and try my best. Y'all hear me? And when I mess up, when I make a mistake, which I will, and I do, God said He is faithful and just. He will forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And my holiness, and your holiness is completely 100% in Jesus. Yeah. Right? We can go back to, we're saved by grace through our faith in Jesus. Right? It's completely in Jesus. Jesus was completely perfect. Is completely perfect. Well, he was and is, you know what I mean? And completely holy. So now we're in Christ, you know, the old Dallas died on the cross. It says old things have passed away, all things have become new. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I believe that now, you know. So any type of righteousness or holiness or sainthood or whatever you want to call it is not about anything I do or don't do. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he did on the cross. Amen? So, second part, and it's a little bit shorter, so hang on with me. Everybody good? Raise your right hand. I'm good. I'm good. All right. So, if you're visiting, you just swore into our club. No, I'm just kidding. Dang, Jason. Jesus also adds that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Now, in a physical sense, light enables us, we all know this, right? It enables us to see form and color, or to see things as they really are. I've been taking these apple cider vinegar pills that Miss Mary told me about, and I think it's actually making me feel better, because I can't drink the juice. I just can't do it. I've tried all the tricks. And I'm kind of sleeping good, but I woke up this morning, and I went to the bathroom, came back, and I saw my recliner over there, and I said, it was about 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5. I said, I'll go get in the recliner. I like to get a recliner, and I try to pray for all of you, starting over here, going back every day, and I fall asleep sometimes. It's okay, right? Fall asleep, Lynn wakes me up. But anyway, I got up this morning, and it was dark. We didn't leave the little light over the stove on, you know? So you can see, I'm going through the living room. I see my recliner. I'm like, oh, okay. I get in that recliner. And I got the blanket. Don't make fun of me. I lose man points there. But I got me a little blankie, right? Kids, got me a little blankie. So I reached over to get my little blankie and covered up. And then I heard Lynn stirring around. So I got up and I cut the light on. And I had her pink blanket. Mine's blue and hers is pink. Oh. I had her pink blanket on. Why? It was dark and I couldn't tell the color, you know. I couldn't tell what was going on in the color. In the spiritual sense, spiritual light enables us to see spiritual truths as they really are. So when we're plugged into prayer, we're plugged into the Bible, then the Holy Spirit helps us determine if something's, you know, good or bad, or if it's weird or not, or if she was some kind of supernatural thing that God really does. He does supernatural things, you know. Or if it's some kind of mystical, supernatural craziness. And that happens, especially in this world, right? Now, the Bible tells us, you know, that we need to let our light shine. Okay, we don't need to let our light shine in our own way, in our own light. We need to let our light shine through Jesus. Let our light shine through Jesus. Not from any religious, bragging, look at me kind of thing. We want to be careful about not doing that. Amen? Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8. Everybody still with me? I'm closing a little bit here. Ephesians 5:8. This is what it says. For at one time, you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. Amen? Light is very noticeable in darkness. I know you didn't come to church to hear that profound statement, but light is very noticeable in darkness. Jesus said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. I can tell you that's true. During my time in the Marine Corps, we went to the Philippines and Japan, and we did some jungle training. I didn't see any war, so thank God. But I did training and was in the Philippines, in the jungle. And we went on what was called a nighttime land navigation. It was learning land navigation skills at nighttime. Well, that's a trip now. So we had our old sergeant out there. He was from Vietnam. He really was crazy now. But anyway, he was straight out of Vietnam, old sergeant. And he was, let's go. He was going to show us. And we had 2 days to get this certain part. I'm trying to make the story short, but I think we got lost. The other part of our little six-man team, we all knew we were lost. But no one was going to tell the sergeant, right? And it was just kind of interesting, but we got kind of scared because we're in the jungles now, and they teach about every kind of crazy creature that can kill you in two steps and all this mess, you know. And we were going over these hills. I remember going over these hills. And, oh, the village is over here. The village that we're supposed to be at is over here. The helicopter's going to pick us up. Village is over here the next night. So it was crazy. We had a little creek. We ran out of water because all we took was like two canteens because we didn't know it was going to be out there that long. And so, speaking of salt, we have anybody remember military old crazy salt pills you had to put in the water? Oh, my Jesus. So we're getting water out of the creek, putting the little salt things in there, and it was nasty. And finally, we come over this one little hill, and we could see, I mean, it was probably 10 clicks, like a million miles away, but we could see that little village on that hill. When I was studying this, I thought about that. I hadn't thought about it in a long time. But we could see that little village. There was like a few little lights. But in a dark, dark jungle, that light just illuminated. And then when we had one of the first crews that had the night vision. You see the guys on TV with the night vision? We were one of the first teams that actually got the old night vision. And I won't get into that. So we saw that. It was dark, but we saw that little. And that gave us so much hope. It gave us so much hope, joy, filled our heart. Man, we were so happy. All we got to do is just keep going that way. We're going to run into that village that we saw the little tiny lights, you know, from the village. So I want to end it this way. If you, no matter how dark your school or college may be, no matter how dark your employment may be, maybe how dark your neighborhood or your situation you're in, no matter how dark, your light will shine big time. Your light will illuminate wherever you're at. Jesus doesn't call us to be spiritual light and then to hide. Okay, verse 15 says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. It would just be foolish to light a candle and cover it with a basket or a bowl. That's what Christ said. It's just as foolish to hide, listen closely, the light of Christ, because He is the only source. He's the only source of true spiritual light. There's so many things in the world today that says that they have a spiritual enlightenment. This is the way to peace and spirituality. When we, as the body of Christ, I believe the Bible is the spoken word of God, that we have the light that this desperate world needs. There are hurting folks out there, even in our own church body. There are people right on the brink of divorce, suicide, addiction, troubles. There's a hurting and troubled world out there. And we, as the body of Christ, I believe that we have the answer. And we don't need to be hiding this light. We need to let our light shine. Verse 16. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The way we let our light shine is through good works. Everybody say good works. One more time. Okay. Let our light shine through good works by serving others. And I know we're saved by grace alone through our faith in Jesus Christ, right? But reaching people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ requires good works. It requires us to do something. So I've put into your bulletin, your sermon notes, a little line right there. I want to ask you. You don't have to do this. I'll never know if you do it or not. But I want to ask each one of you to pray and ask God to put something on your heart that you can do for someone else this week. And I know a lot of you do a lot of things, and you're very good about good works and doing things for people and doing acts of kindness and those kind of things. But I want you to do something extra. Trust me, it'll be a blessing for you and others. Think of something. It could be just send somebody a card or a note. It could be, you know, give somebody $50, or it could be anything that the Lord puts on your heart. I hope you guys will do it this week before next Sunday. Amen? Because here's why. Sometimes we minimize or neglect acts of kindness or works. Sometimes we are so focused on, oh, you know, I know we're not saved based on works. But when we do good deeds for people, when we do good things for people, that's being salty. You know, that's loving them. So do something for someone this week. And James sums it up by saying, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Amen? So now, you've heard the word of God. Basically, the Great Commission. So I want to encourage you to go forth and be the salt of the earth and be the light wherever you set your foot and wherever you go. Be the light of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for our guests. Thank you for everyone here. Lord, we pray for all our folks that are traveling and going around and visiting others. But Father, during this time, I'd like to ask that if there's someone here that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I'm not talking about religion, being religious, or any of that stuff. But Lord, if they'd like to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, during this little song we're about to sing, I pray that they'll come forward and I'll be glad to talk to them and pray with them, and we can settle that now. Maybe someone wants to join the church. Maybe someone would like to get baptized. That'd be awesome. Lord, we just give this time over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.